Hey there, I'm so glad that you're here for lie number 19. I'm Jessica Hoddle, your host, and today we're talking about the lie that what I say doesn't matter. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. In high school and in my early 20s and into my mid-20s, I really didn't care to think about the words that came out of my mouth. I didn't understand a lot of the scripture at the time, so when you read about the mind or the words, I didn't really take them seriously. And the more that I've been studying about the brain and very, very entry level of neuroscience, of really you get to see the gospel all throughout. And it's amazing how God created our brains and also that he gave us the truth to understand how they work. And understanding, when you begin to understand your brain, you also begin to understand just how powerful our words are and why he talks about renewing our mind and that the words that we speak bring about blessings and cursings. And today we're going to talk about that because I don't want you to think for a second that your words don't matter, because what you say matters. It impacts the people around you. It impacts your children. It impacts your life. And I'm not just talking about, you know, being mean to somebody or anything. I'm talking about your words are speaking life or they're speaking death. And that is an important thing for us to consider, because out of our heart flows the abundance, right? And we will begin to speak that. And you know, we're going to start talking about 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. We're going to read this scripture, and it's one that I've been meditating on lately because it's a very powerful weapon to understand that we become what we behold. And I very much believe in you become the sum of the five people you hang around with. And so if we look at that as we're hanging out with Jesus and are in the Word, then I think it's important that when we're reading his word, we become like him. And that means that the yucky places in our hearts and the things that we struggle with, they actually become transformed to look like him, to where we're not carrying those sins of jealousy, greed, and lust, and all the things that we might sometimes just put a sugar coating on and not call it a sin. And even in my own life, when it comes to jealousy, I just had such a jealousy problem because, you know, growing up, I saw all the other kids getting all these things and birthday parties. And at the time, I just couldn't understand. And I really went into my 20s and just this jealousy of all these people have all these amazing things. And I wasn't able to acknowledge the words I was speaking, but also my pain, but also seeing the good. And so in 2 Corinthians 10:5, I'm just going to read right from my Bible. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And this is Paul talking to the Corinth church, and kind of in chapter 10, he's again defending his ministry. And he's not somebody that looks like he has this big muscular body with power and strength. He's more maybe this meek person, maybe kind of this gentleness. But when he speaks with power and authority. And he's letting the Corinth church know from his first letter that he doesn't want to come and visit again. He wants to make sure that they're being obedient to his first letter before he comes back. And this passage is really him addressing the fact that it doesn't matter what I look like. It doesn't matter about me presenting and having this awesome speech. And it doesn't matter my appearance. But what matters is that who's inside of me. That is what gives me the strength to be able to talk to you guys today. That is what gives me the strength to do the mission that I have. And when he's addressing this, I think it's important, even thinking about it in context, Paul defending his ministry and telling the Corinth church about what the power that's inside of us. And that's important for us today. When he talks about, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. That is so important because we often try to do that. Something happens to us or the outside circumstances just feel so overwhelming. So then we go at war and we try to strive and we try to make everything happen because fear makes us do really weird things, right? And in our feelings and our emotions, and maybe things are, you know, triggered by trauma. And so I think it's really important that we understand that the strength inside of us is mighty through God. So it's through God, not through our flesh, to pull down strongholds, right? So when we think about a stronghold, it's even in the sense of something that has a very strong hold on your life, whether it's your finances, your body, your business, your ministry. I've all been there, where it just felt like you had to white knuckle them or you weren't going to get change. And the reason why I want to address this scripture is that it's not carnal. Nothing that we do in the spirit and the power and authority that we have is not, it's, there's nothing in our flesh with power and authority, nothing. But we often respond and react, and our words and our actions tend to show us whom we serve. And so casting down arguments, and a lot of, and other scriptures will say casting down imaginations. And that is something else that is really important, is even though we might not be saying words, we're still imagining in our minds, which is so important for our breeding hope, is what we're imagining, you know, because our imaginations take us to that place. And I'm going to read from a book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. It's more of a neuroscience book. It's not really Christian based, but I have been underlining like crazy to understand just how the brain works and how the body works, and really going to scripture for the reference. Because what I've begun to understand is that the kingdom in you becomes the kingdom around you. You know, you might feel like you're in a prison, but even though you are in a prison, you can make it a palace, right? And so it doesn't matter the outside circumstances. It matters the inside heart posture. And so I'm going to say that again. The kingdom in you can become the kingdom around you. So I'm going to read from this book, and then we're going to dive into another scripture. If you're anything like me, you're probably going to think some of these are big words. And trust me, I am slowly and surely beginning to understand more and more of this. So I think it's important that we just say we're learning and we're growing together. But I love this part of this book. It says, because of our enlarged human frontal lobe and our unique ability to make thought more real than anything else, again, thought, the forebrain can naturally lower the volume from the external environment so that nothing else is being processed but a single-minded thought. This type of internal processing allows us to become so involved in our mental imaging that the brain will modify its wiring without having experienced the actual event. When we change our minds independent of the environment and then steadfastly embrace an ideal with sustained concentration, the brain will be ahead of the environment. Y'all, this is faith. This is seeing an event and meditating on the word and his scripture and the promises before you even see your outside environment change. Now, to give you a little context in the book, he's talking about these people that participated in a test where they were playing the chords and on a piano, and they were doing it where people were physically moving their hands, and others where they were visually learning the chords. They were meditating and do visualization to remember the chords, and how it affected their brain as though they were actually moving their hands. And I think what this is, that there are four elements that we all use to change our brains, which is learning knowledge, receiving hands-on instruction, paying attention, and repetition. And so this is, again, the gospel. This is that glory to glory. This is the renewing our minds to the truth of what it looks like to how faith and works go together, where how powerful it is when we connect all of those things. And he goes on to say that that is mental rehearsal, an important tool in breaking the habit of being ourselves. If we repeatedly think about something to the exclusion of everything else, we encounter a moment when the thought becomes the experience. When this occurs, the neural hardwire is rewired to reflect the thought as the experience. This is the moment that our thinking changes our brains and thus our minds. Again, it's like, if you could see my notes in this book, it's like gospel. To understand why scripture has, he's always talking about renewing our mind. And he tells us to think on these things, right? What is true? What is noble? What is just? What is pure? What is loving? He tells us that, you know, our tongues, who can tame a tongue, but that out of it blessings and cursings come. As a man thinks, so is he. He tells us to fear not constantly. He tells us to not worry. And it's really about, Paul is saying that it's possible for our spiritual weapons that are designed to have the purpose of taking every thought captive. And so what's happening and why I wanted to read from this book is saying that your words matter. And before they even become words, your thought and visualization matters, which is why casting down imaginations and high things that exalt itself above the word of God matter. And I love how it says that when you become so focused that your brain can actually, when it says lower the volume, we're just going to say turn off the external environment, meaning you're not responding to the things that you see, because scripture tells us to not live by sight, but by faith. But that nothing else is being processed but a single-minded thought. And so if we go to James 1:8, which you're going to hear some papers rattle around here because I got my Bible right in front of me, and we're going to go ahead and read through James 1:8 as well. James 1:8 says, well, let's read a couple of scriptures before to give us a little bit of context. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And I couldn't help but to think about what we think about in context of reading this book and him talking about, you know, in scripture sense of living by faith, which is the word of God and his promises, by what we see. And not a lot of people, I feel like, address the doubt in our hearts, because who wants to talk about the doubt that we have, right? You know, we see in this encounter with Jesus in the gospels where a man comes and says, I believe, but how my unbelief? So there's this tension sometimes that we feel, which what is not transformed by the word of God becomes conformed to the world. So there's this tug of war sometimes in that renewing process of doubt and unbelief. And James is addressing, you know, if we just read kind of a few scriptures even before that, he's talking about count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But all these connector words, it's important that we also understand that, but let him ask in faith and with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave tossed, right? And so let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We get it wrong sometimes. And thank goodness for the ministry of repentance and really changing our thought process. But this comes with layers, and I am 100% aware of that, of false doctrine, things that have been spoken over us, things that we thought about God's character that really are not true. And when I go to this book and understand the brain, you can connect the two together. And it's not really popular, but I'll tell you what, when you read about the brain and how it works, it gives the scripture so much more power. And that's kind of what it's done for me of, wow, what I say matters. What comes after my butt? Like, we'll say, I believe God, but X, Y, Z. And so what comes after that but matters. And that's typically what we truly believe in our hearts is real. And so when I go again, if we read through the book, it's talking about this mental rehearsal. And it's an important tool in breaking the habit of being ourselves. And so if we look at this again as scripture, it's that the mental rehearsal, the renewing of our minds and the meditating on scripture, it's an important tool in breaking the old man, because we are a new creation in Christ. But as our spirit became new, we left behind this old body, because our body has been purchased, but it's not yet redeemed. And so we get to uncover, renew, reframe these lies of our old quote unquote selves that we still had carried around with us. And that's the beauty of it all, of understanding that the words that you speak out of your mouth matter, and they're also transforming your brain pathways, your neurotransmitters, the lens in which you see the world. And so casting down imaginations, that matters. You know, I often say to my husband and to clients, and I'll even just catch myself doing it, is when I say future tripping, and when we start to speak things into existence that we have no idea what are going to look like. So we kind of just start speaking death into maybe a circumstance of an unknown. You just don't know what's going to happen. And you just start creating this reality, whether it's in your heart, or I should say in your mind, you start visualizing of all the things that could go wrong. And typically when we visualize those things, His grace and His mercy isn't there. And typically His love is not there. We're not meditating on all the good things that can happen. Our brains is like that sin is like, it wires us to just go to that negative self. And so casting down these imaginations and taking things into captivity, it's saying that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. So through God and through His Spirit within us, we have the capability of actually taking every thought into captivity. There's no thought that cannot go into captivity. And so when we say we don't have control of what we think, yes, we do. And it's a process. And I understand there's layers and things that go on and how well our body is and all that stuff. But a lot of it starts in our mind and the imaginations that we create. So when I say future tripping, it's just this kind of this reality check. It's a word that triggers me back into reality and what I'm meditating on. You know, it's, you know, for example, if your husband is at work and he said he's going to be home at 5 and he's not home at 5, you might start to think he was in a car accident. He's cheating on me. He's doing this. Something happened. You know, like we're never thinking, well, maybe he stopped off and got us some dinner and he picked up some flowers for me and he just, you know, decided to go grocery shopping. It's not too often that our future tripping involves grace and mercy, kindness, joy, love, peace. It's often the opposite. And so, again, we become what we behold. And also the words that we speak bring about and attract the same reference. And so, you know, when I was growing up in the home that I did, often I would just say things that, why is this happening to me? And I would just hold on to all this angerness and bitterness and jealousy. And I kept getting more of that in my life. When I was going through my healing journey and fearing every symptom that came my way, and I was speaking it out of my mouth, guess what I got more of? more fear. And so what seeds we plant with our mouth becomes the harvest that we sow. And I see this according to brain study. I see it in all over scripture, which makes it more powerful. And so here's what I want to encourage you on today. Your words do matter. They bring life. You know, in 2 Timothy, he's talking and he's sharing about how we want to make sure that the message that we spread is the truth. And in 2 Timothy, he says that shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Their message will spread like cancer. We want to make sure that we're a breeding ground for hope in our own lives and in the lives of others, so that the message that we're communicating is not us being double-minded or speaking the death and of the doctrine that we speak, because we want to make sure he doesn't call us to make Christians. He calls us to make disciples. And we want to make sure that we make healthy disciples. And listen, I don't get it right all the time. I'm not here to say, hey, listen, do everything that I do. It's not about me. I'm here to encourage your heart, because this is what I've been encouraging my own heart on. This is the message that my heart needs, because I come from such a poverty mindset and in a victim mentality for almost half, I mean, more than half of my life. It's only really been since I probably married my husband, we've been married for a few years now, and at the time of this recording, about 4. And that is where, like, it's only been this short time where it's been this process of renewing and taking thoughts captive. And even in the last year and a half, where I really have gotten serious about what scripture is and what is it, why does it matter what I say? And am I bringing about more things that I don't want because I keep speaking it, thinking it doesn't matter? You know, the words I speak over my body, those matter. Even if I don't speak them in my mind and I create those imaginations and everything, your brain is still creating an experience even if you're not experiencing it. Your brain is still going through a mental rehearsal, and therefore every thought you think is releasing a chemical into your body that you're training your body to hold a certain posture. You're training your body in the future to respond to certain things. And this good news, and I love when Paul is addressing 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, hey, it's not about what you look like. It is not about how great and how eloquent you speak. It is not about the perfect words. But here's the power and authority that you have in you. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. Right? For the weapon of our warfare is mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. That's your good news today. That we get to mind what we think so that we don't have to watch what we say. You get to. You have the authority and the power within you, because of your union with Christ, to be able to take every thought captive and to make it obedient to Christ. This isn't some really cute, you know, quote or scripture that sounds really good, but how are we putting this into practice? How are we becoming aware of the thoughts that we think so that we can make them obedient and filter kind of, you know, is this good? Is this bad? Is this you know, a part of his promises, is this right? Is this just, you know, am I turning to scripture in these moments? And listen, there are moments where we just got to feel what we feel. I'll often text my best friend and just be like, listen, I know all these truths. I just need a moment to feel these, process them out loud, and then, okay. And so we can still feel what we feel and know what we know, but still breed life. We see that in the Psalms. I often reference the Psalms because it's such a perfect example. We get to reference how David wrote of, hey, God, here's everything I feel, but what comes after your but matters. Here's everything I know is true about who you are. So today, friends, think about what you're thinking about. Think about the words you're speaking over your children. And when you mess up, just like I often do, and just this past weekend yelling at my husband, I was just not yelling. We don't really yell at each other, but just having some days. And I just was like, hey, sorry, it's not about you. And that's the beauty, that when we get it wrong, we get to make it right. So today, friends, speak life. Speak it over your body. Speak it over your relationships, whatever is around you, your plant, your computer. I can't tell you how many times I'm speaking life over my computer in the name of Jesus when it starts to freeze. Speak life. That's your goal today. P.S. One more thing. If you've ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough, then my best-selling book, Know Your Worth, is for you. If you knew what you were worth, would you settle for anything less? It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, your body, relationships, or your finances. You will discover gems to apply in your own life as I take you through my own journey of how I was able to overcome the unthinkable by realizing my worth wasn't tied in the things or people, but to God. In this book, I really walk you through the how-to of stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain. Find the tools you need to be successful in life. Realize you are beautiful just the way you are. Refuse to settle for anything less than what's God's best for your life. And recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future.